All of you know the story of Jonah. The story of Jonah is one of those unique stories in the Bible which always captures our attention because it seems, it's very entertaining the way that his life went. I mean, who else has gotten swallowed by a whale and spat back up and, you know, was able to be thrown into the water and then the sea went calm? I mean, he had quite a unique life. And I just want to go through his life very quickly, but because you know Jonah, okay? Jonah, he was called by God. He was told to bring a message to the Ninevite people. He was told to tell them that they were going to be destroyed because of because of their wickedness that was come up before God. And so he was commanded by God to go over there. But Jonah did not obey. He went and took a ship, found a ship, paid the fare, going in the opposite direction, going to Tarshish because he did not want to deliver this message. Now, as I mentioned, he was on that boat. He was going away. And then the Lord sent a storm. And he really did not want to handle his problems in a godly way. Funny, all the sailors that were on the ship, I was reading the story again before coming up here, and it's amazing because all these sailors, they were busy praying to their gods, and Jonah, he did not want to deal with God at all. He would rather the sailors just throw him overboard. He would rather just die than to have to do what God said. A very bad attitude, to say the least. And so he ended up being thrown overboard. He was thrown overboard, and immediately these sailors were then worshiping God, and then he ended up being swallowed by a whale that God went and prepared. And so he was in that whale then for 3 days, 3 nights. He ended up getting things right, and he was, as the Bible said, vomited back out onto dry land. And he was told again by God to go and deliver the message that he was told to do in the first place. So he went. And the city of Nineveh, as the Bible says, is 3 days. And he went in there the first day, and he started telling people, 40 days till Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And he started shouting that message out to everyone. And a very surprising thing happened. The city of Nineveh ended up repenting of their ways, all the way from the king himself, who then sent out a decree for everybody else, all the way down even to the animals themselves, that everybody would fast, that there would be that they would wear sackcloth and ashes. And they had no promise from God that God would end up forgiving them of their ways. They were just hopeful that maybe, perhaps, God would see what they were doing and God would turn away from his wickedness. Now, God did end up repenting of the wrath that he was going to pour out onto the city. And you would think that Jonah would be happy, but he was not. And we're going to pick up in Jonah chapter 4 because he was incredibly angry. He was in chapter 3, verse 10, the verse before, it says, "And God saw their works and that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." And now let's read in chapter 4, verse 1. And after we read this fourth chapter, we'll pray. It says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, Is thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth. and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray you would give me clarity as I preach from your word tonight. I pray that we would end up coming away, Lord, with having a pity for the souls of men and this world through your eyes. I pray you time. I pray we would learn from the life of Jonah. I ask this in your name. Amen. God called Jonah to warn the Ninevites of the impending judgment of God. You would think that with the anger and hatred that he had toward the Ninevites, he would be glad to go. It's pretty obvious that see this here. God went and forgave, repented of the evil, turned away from the evil from the Ninevites. And Jonah, you would think, would be glad, but no. He was angry. In fact, he goes all the way into sets of a booth to be able to look down on the city, hoping that he can be able to see fire come from heaven, God would destroy it, probably thinking kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah, that he would end up getting to witness this. And this is the attitude that he has. So you would think that when God told him, "I want you to go to the Ninevites and tell them that they are going to be judged for their wickedness," you would think that he would have left right away. "I'm going to go over to Nineveh. I'm going to tell these people. I can't wait for them to be destroyed." That's obviously his attitude that he has, but he wasn't. He wasn't. In fact, he had left and went to the opposite direction. Now, the reason he wasn't excited about delivering this message was because of something that he knew about God. And he didn't want the Ninevites to have a part of that. That amazing part that he did not want them to experience was God's mercy. He did not want them to experience that. Now, we are all in desperate need of God's mercy. Jonah didn't care if the Ninevites experienced the mercy from God. And God, in turn, put Jonah to a test to reveal to him what was in his own heart. And some of you today might identify with Jonah and find yourself passing or failing this same test. The title of the message that I have for you tonight is Prioritize Your Pity. Now, I want you to first see that there was a mercy that was enjoyed in Jonah's life. And was Jonah not a recipient of God's mercy? He certainly was in many ways, but just in this short part of his life that we get to see, God did not have to spare him of when he disobeyed and went in the opposite direction. God could have caused him to die on the seas, to drown. But God went and prepared a whale and went and all and created, he ended up speaking with Jonah and giving him an opportunity to be able to mend his ways. So Jonah, he was a recipient of God's mercy. Now Jonah, he also preached to the people of Israel about the mercy of God. If you take a look at verse 2 in chapter 4, this is the type of message that he was delivering to the Israelite people. You see in verse 2, it says, "And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? So what was his saying while he was yet in his country? It says, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. This is the reason he fled. For I knew that thou art a what? What does it say there? A gracious God. And what's the next word? Merciful. What's the next phrase? Slow to anger. And of great, what's the next word? Kindness. And repentest thee of the evil. This is the type of God. This is what he was telling the Israelites about. Our God is gracious. Our God is full of mercy. If you disobey him, if you walk away, God is merciful to you, and he will forgive you. He will help you. This is the type of God that he was telling his people about, and he knew these attributes about God. And he said, "This is the reason why I went to Tarshish. I did not, because I know this about you." Jonah thought these people were undeserving of God's mercy. Here, Jonah sat viewing a city which needed the mercy of God, and all he could think about wasn't their safety, but was the comfort that he felt he deserved for being a follower of God. And it was here, in this booth that he had set up, while he was looking over the city, is where God went and taught him this lesson. I want you to take a look at this in your own life and compare yourself to Jonah very quickly before we continue on. Have you experienced the mercy of God in your life like Jonah did? If you've been saved, most certainly you've experienced the mercy of God in your life. And I'm sure you've experienced the mercy of God. In fact, I know you've experienced the mercy of God more than you even realize. But just from the sake of being saved, that is something that God did not have to do for you. You were an enemy of God by your wicked works. And yet God, through his mercy, went and made a way for you to be forgiven of your sins. And he's extended that to you. And there's so many ways, if you took a look at your life, how you would see the mercy of God in your life. Now also, just like Jonah, we preach the message of God's impending judgment on this world. And so think about it. The way that Jonah, he had went into this city, obviously was super uncaring about these people and about what was going to happen to them. He went into the city telling them, 40 days till Nineveh is going to be destroyed. No hope of forgiveness at all. 40 days till Nineveh is going to be destroyed. He started going through, and then when people started responding, he got mad. Now, sometimes when we go through, we kind of end up doing our maybe Christian responsibility or obligation, maybe we would say. We kind of do it in the attitude that maybe Jonah had done it, where we are not thinking about the souls of the people that we are maybe handing out a tract to. We're just kind of doing it because this is what we're supposed to do. This is what Pastor went and told us to do. We're going out on visitation. We're putting in our time. We're going door to door. I said I was going to be out for an hour to be able to go hand out tracts, so that's what I'm going to do. And so we just feel like that's what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. But our hearts are not knit towards the people that we're giving the tracts out to. We're just concerned. We're just thinking about our own self, and we're glad that we're putting in our time, and it makes us feel good about it. So compare yourself with the way that Jonah was responding to this Ninevite people and think, do I have that same kind of heart attitude inside me, the way that I respond to others? Jonah, in this case, he felt that they were undeserving of that mercy from God. Sometimes, Jonah's attitude, it was pretty rotten. So I really hope nobody here has the attitude that Jonah had. To be able to sit here and look for a city to be burned up by fire, I really hope that you don't have that kind of anger towards somebody else, that you would wish that upon even a lost person, okay? But sometimes we don't see other people as deserving of the mercy of God. Sometimes I'll just say, you know, between one Christian believer to another, maybe somebody has done something that has offended you, and you don't think that that person deserves God's mercy in their life because that was, in your book, a pretty serious offense, okay? And so that is such a bad attitude to have. We need to be looking at everyone, realizing that each person deserves God's mercy, and you certainly don't deserve God's mercy. And so when you look at other people with that type of heart, that is the perspective that you need to have on others. Now, let's take a look quickly at the book of Matthew chapter 18. And just keep your finger in Jonah chapter 4 because we'll be coming back here very quickly. But Matthew chapter 18, I want you just to take a look at this passage and think about it for a second. This is what we'd say the story of the unforgiving servant. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 to 35, we'll just read that, and says, I'm in the wrong book. It's in the book of Acts. That is not helpful. Okay, Matthew chapter 18. Okay, let's try this verse, 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told him and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. This is the type of attitude that we are to have towards others, realizing that they deserve mercy. We needed mercy from God. Other people need mercy from God. And if we have a heart of not caring for people, not concerning ourselves with where they are going to be for eternity, then we are having this unforgiving heart. This is not the type of heart that God wants to have us to have. Now, if you turn back into Jonah chapter 4, I want you to, again, take a look at the life of Jonah. First of all, as we were seeing, that there was a mercy that was enjoyed in Jonah's life, and there is a mercy that is enjoyed in our life. Now, there was also a grace that was assumed in his life. Now, grace is something from God which is beyond what we deserve. Now, here's how the grace of God was seen in Jonah's life. The grace of God came in the form of a gourd. If you take a look at Jonah chapter 4, verse 6, we see that it says, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. It's hard to exactly picture what this gourd looks like. It kind of sounds like a funny type of a thing to see this gourd. I don't know if it was just like this massive thing, massive fruit or whatever, but this thing when it grew up, but whatever it was, however it comes up in your imagination of what it would look like, We know that for Jonah, it made him exceeding glad of the gourd. This gourd, it protected, it provided Jonah comfort, it protected him from the elements. Now, this grace was not seen as grace in Jonah's life. He was seen as kind of something that was expected. And you could see that when it was taken away, because in verses 7 and 8 it says, "But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. The sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die. And he said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.'" He, when this was taken away out of his life, there was no thankfulness to God that was expressed. You know, "I'm thankful, God, that you went and brought this into my life. I wish that it could be brought, that it could be brought back." But there was no acknowledging God's work at it at all. He was very much of the attitude that he deserved this, and he was mad that this was taken away. Now, I want you to see this again, turning back into your own life here, okay? And we see this gourd went and brought it made him exceeding glad. And now there are some, what I would say, gourds of grace that are brought up into your own life that also that make you exceeding glad and kind of make a little bit more sense than a gourd. For instance, I'll just kind of give you some examples of some gourds that may come up in your life. Perhaps good income. Say that you have a job that's providing you money, and that's something that God doesn't have to give you, but he has given you. If you have any source of income at all, if you have money that's coming to you, that's something that is a way that God has made sure that you were taken care of. That is a gourd of grace in your life. Maybe perhaps you have good health, and sometimes that's something that we take for granted until our health gets away in some form. But when the good health is there, we kind of just expect it. We expect that we should be feeling good. We kind of just take that for granted. Perhaps, you know, all of you got here in a car because it's very cold outside. I experienced that just by going outside. It's not the same weather as when I was in Washington just a few days ago. So you're not going to end up walking to church, but it's easy to take for granted the vehicle that you had to come here. You just kind of expect, well, of course, if you're going to live in Alaska or if you're going to live in the United States anywhere, you have to have a vehicle. That's just necessary. But you know, God allowed you to be able to have a vehicle. And don't ever think of it as just an expectation. Of course, I have a vehicle. You know, you need to have a vehicle. God allowed you to be able to have that. Think about in Thailand. You'll see a scooter going around with 5 people on the scooter. And that's normal over there. Be thankful you don't have to do that in Alaska. That would be kind of crazy. But all these blessings, we sometimes act like Jonah, and we think that we end up deserving them. Some reasons maybe that we think that this type of grace in our life is because we see that we've lived life God's way. And for example, you're all in church right now. You know that what you're doing right now is pleasing to God. So you almost kind of expect in some ways that God's going to end up blessing your life because, well, I'm doing a good thing. I'm doing what God wants me to do. So of course, I have these blessings of God. Perhaps you're saved, and you know God's the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And so, don't just think that because you're God's child, you deserve any of the good things that are currently in your life. We forget that we don't deserve anything. Who were we before we were saved? Just as a reminder, in Colossians chapter 1, 21, 22, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by your wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. You were alien, and enemies to God by your wicked works. That's who you were. And yet God has not only extended mercy towards you, he's also given grace in your life. He's blessed you with different things. Now, I want you to also take a look here. Third of all, there was this pity that was misplaced, because we see when this gourd was taken away out of Jonah's life, we see his response. In verses 9 and 10, it says, "And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night." To have pity means to have sympathy for, be compassionate, to have tender feelings for one. And so when we look at this verse, God was pointing out to Jonah what was in his heart. What was it that Jonah was pitying? Well, obviously it wasn't the Ninevite people. He was pitying this gourd. He was pitying that this gourd was taken away. And you could almost picture when this gourd was, when he woke up in the morning and he saw this gourd was withered up, what he might have ended up doing to it. Perhaps he went and tried to find some water to be able to give this gourd, to be able to revive it. Perhaps he found some different branches or something to be able to go ahead and prop this gourd up so that he can be able to get that comfort that he had back into his life again. He was no longer comfortable, and he felt that he was entitled to this gourd. I mean, wasn't he, Jonah, the one, after all, who had given up all the comforts in Israel to suffer in a ship storm, a fish's belly, and then spend the last few days shouting to people a message from God who he didn't even care about? He did all these things for God, and now God takes this gourd away out of his life, takes the one thing that was bringing him happiness in his life. Jonah did not pity the Ninevites. Jonah's pity was on this gourd. Our pity is often misplaced. Our pity is often misplaced when the gourds in our life wither, when the income that the good job that we had, when the money was coming in, it was consistent, and that money flow was cut off. We then become upset. Why did this have to happen to me? I'm following after God. Why did God have to take this away out of my life? And we immediately begin trying to find new ways, new job, new things to be able to get that money back into our life. Perhaps your car breaks down. That's like when your car breaks down. Your schedule ends up totally changing based on the car. And so you're trying to get that car in the shop right away to be able to get that thing fixed up. And so we become very frustrated because any events that you had scheduled for that day or for the next couple days are now totally changed around, because now that car is taken out of your life. Your life is now inconvenienced. And we get so upset when these things happen. I even put in here, because some of you when kids understand, you know, when you don't get much sleep and you think, I deserve that sleep. And your kid is up and, you know, is throwing up or something, and you become very upset. Why was this area of happiness, this sleep, taken away out of my life? And so you become frustrated. And, you know, a lot of these things, they end up totally changing our perspective. It gets us up on the wrong side of the bed, as it did Jonah. And we become very upset because now, as Jonah had said before, this he was exceeding glad of this gourd. Well, now those things that made us exceeding glad, the things that we enjoy in our life, are now taken away. And many times, we are just as upset as Jonah is. I just want to end it all. Okay, well, hopefully you haven't been to that point in your life for things that have been taken away. But sometimes we act like that, where we just want to toss in the towel. We are completely upset. And we pity not the people around us, but those things that benefit us. And so we become totally We spend time working hard to get more money to replace those gourds that were taken away out of our life. We spend time repairing our gourds, these things that were removed. We spend time bemoaning our lost gourds, telling other people, I can't believe they keep us so busy, and the entire time we're focusing on our gourds, lost souls are passing by in front of us, going to hell, but we are not concerned. We're not pitying ourselves with them. We're pitying our own gourds, the things that bring us pleasure. And that's the position that Jonah was in right here. He was not concerning himself at all. This city, he was hoping that it was just going to be burned up by fire. And here, yeah, the sun starts beating on him, and he's experiencing a little bit of heat, and he becomes so upset with life. He's like, "Well, life is not comfortable for me anymore. Oh, this! Why did my gourd have to get taken away? It was making me so happy." All he was centered on was himself, me, myself, and I. And God goes and tells Jonah and says, "Jonah, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people right in front of you, and all you care about is this gourd." This whole story of Jonah, I think, was designed so it could reveal to Jonah his heart. And I think you might end up finding your heart could be revealed through this too. If you take a look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, there are a number of things that God went and prepared and put into Jonah's life to get him to finally realize what he was pitying. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord God prepared a great fish." What had God prepared? A great fish. God is the one that prepared that. Now, if you take a look at Jonah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "And the Lord God prepared a what? A gourd." And then in verse 7, it says, "But God prepared a what? A worm." And in verse 8, it says, "And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a what? Vehement east wind." God was at work all the way from the beginning of this time when we're let into the life of Jonah, all the way to the end. This whole segment of his life, we see God was at work to be able to reveal to Jonah what was in his heart. Circumstances in life are not accidental. God is at work in your life today, bringing things into your life, taking things out of your life, to be able to reveal to you what is going on in your heart. What was revealed in Jonah's heart was that he had a love for stuff. He cared not for the things that were eternal, but the things that were here today and are gone tomorrow. It was revealed in his heart that he had a lack of forgiveness for others. It was revealed that he had a focus on his own self, and also that he did not have God's eternal view on life. What would God reveal in your heart? Are you like Jonah, just going through the motions of obeying God, but not truly having a heart for him or for others? Has God begun taking gourds away? Or if he has, or when he will you be left with the perspective that God is not fair? Is the only things you get excited for another day, is the only way you get excited for another day through the thoughts of the potential good things you want God to bless you with? Or do you have a heart that says, regardless if it will benefit me, I will share the mercy of God to this world around me? This world needs the mercy of God. The lesson today is that we pity that which God's heart pities, and that is the souls of men.
learn from the lesson of Jonah and desire to see life from God's viewpoint. God is busy preparing blessings or trials in your life so that we will see life as he sees it. Be aware that of God's teaching and learn from the lesson that Jonah experienced. Now, the story of Jonah, it ends kind of abruptly. God is talking to Jonah, and then all of a sudden, he goes and points out the Ninevite people and how there are thousands of them about the cattle, and that's the end of the story. We're kind of brought into a little part of Jonah's life, and this is all that we know about him. So we don't know if Jonah ever learned this lesson. We don't know if God ended up bringing in new things into his life or taking it away, taking things out to be able to reveal more what was in his heart. But today, if you can identify that God has been bringing things in and taking things out of your life, or maybe you hadn't realized that God is trying to reveal something in your heart, realize that God is at work, and perhaps God is trying to show you something. He's trying to show you what's going on in your heart, and you need to have, you want to learn that lesson as soon as possible. And most importantly, as we see in Jonah's life here, learn to pity the souls of men and not your own stuff. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this story of Jonah, because I know for myself, Lord, it's so often easy to get consumed with the entertaining things of this life or things that make me comfortable, that I forget to notice that there are people around me that need the gospel. And Lord, I just pray that you would remind each one of us, Lord, going out, that we would be reminded of the story of Jonah as we interact with others, and we would pity their souls. Lord, we're so thankful for the mercy that you've shown to our lives. Lord, those of us who are saved, they're forgiven of our sins. We are so grateful to you for what the mercy that you showed us when we certainly didn't deserve it. And Lord, I pray that we would see people through your eyes, and we would extend that mercy to others and concern ourselves with their soul. Lord, I pray, bless this evening, and I ask this all in your name. Amen.